When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of the Proper Class Podcast. I'm Laura Checkley.
And I'm Hannah Chiswick.
And we are of course here to celebrate all things working class, because if we don't, I'm going to let our guests say it. Go on.
Who the bloody hell will?
Do you recognise those dulcet tones, folks?
You know what? I've always thought that catchphrase was no good, but it turns out it just needed someone else to say it.
Oh, how rude.
As always, we sit down with a working class hero to celebrate their life and achievements and discuss just how they got to where they are today. So on that note, who are we celebrating this week, Law?
I have been excited all day, all week.
All day.
Yeah, all day and all week about what's to, quite frankly, take place here today. Because let me tell you, folks, this week's guest is quite literally one of the most special ladies you'll ever hope to meet. Not only one of my bestest mates, but a bit of a bloody icon, actually. And in my opinion, one of our country's finest character actresses. Yes. I mean, her range. Now, do you remember Mariah Carey when she could sing?
Do you remember Mariah Carey? Yes,
yeah,
yes,
do you remember,
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
But do you remember her range? Do you remember? It was quite big, wasn't it? It was very big. Well, if this week's guest range, guests...
I can see where you're going. Keep going. Go on.
Well, if this week's guest's range was measured in, like, a vocal range, it would be greater than Mariah's range. Does that make sense? That's how good this week's guest is at what she does.
Okay.
It was a shit metaphor, wasn't
good
it?
Good God, you committed to it, though. That's right. This week's guest has been gracing our screens for decades now. You might know her best for playing parts like Jackie Tyler in Doctor Who.
Oh, like I said, iconic.
Shelley in BAFTA award-winning comedy Him and Her.
Again, iconic.
And most recently, she can be seen in Channel 4's hit comedy Big Boys playing Jack Rook's hilarious mum Peggy.
Soon to be iconic. Actually, it's already iconic. It's done so well. Have you seen it yet?
No, not yet.
You need to watch it. It's that iconic. I wish I was in it.
At just 24, this week's guest was whisked off to Hollywood to appear in hit movie classics Nuns on the Run and King Ralph. She's also trodden the boards too, originating the role of Rosie in The Playmaid in Spain, which later went on to become a TV movie. She's also graced the West End 2 in What the Butler Saw, Get Out of That Then, and Benefit.
I love how all those plays sound really working class.
Get right out of it.
Benefit, right. Quite simply, we'd be here all day if we were to list all of her achievements, because that's how old... Oh, I'm sorry, I mean, that's how much work she's done. But just in case you don't know, here's a little taster. Deep breath. You may recognise her from The Business, The Firm, A Prayer for the Dying, A Bit of Fry and Laurie, Boone, The Famous Five, Rumpo of the Bailey, Nelson's Column, A Touch of Frost, Tom Jones, Hannah.
Trial and Retribution, Family, England Expects, Lord Christ of Candleford, Cradle to the Grave, Open Doors and Death in Paradise. And that, my friends, is not even scratching the surface.
No, it really isn't. And she ain't done yet, because she has loads more of exciting projects in the pipeline. I mean, one could only hope to have a fraction of this woman's career, and to be able to sustain this tough industry for as long as she has and still be at the top of her game is nothing short of admirable. I have been fortunate enough to have worked with our guest twice. First time was a bit of a flop, ain't gonna lie, and we thought we'd never work again. But second time round, we were, as she would say, on a pig's back, flying high in our hit BBC sitcom King Gary. She is the Kylie to my Jason, the Richard to my Judy, and the Spanx to my thighs. She is our nation's favourite TV mum, Camille Cadore!
I'm so not worthy. What are you
Yes, you
doing?
Are.
How lovely.
How do you feel hearing all that?
I feel strange.
Do you?
I do.
Does that sound like your life? We're like, oh, that's weird,
it does, isn't it? And you think, but I feel like I still feel 25 and that it was only 8 years ago. Do you know what I mean? And it's not. It's been
40 years,
yeah,
you say.
Yeah. Getting out of that then was 40 years ago.
Wow.
41 years ago, actually.
No, so honestly, I sincerely meant that. I know we're obviously really good mates and I take the piss out of you all the time, but, like, it is, it's one of the things I say to you all the time, like, to be able to sustain this industry is one thing alone, but you've sustained it at a top level, and you have. I know you think, like, you were sat on the couch for 5 years after we did that flop together.
I did, though. I did sit on the couch for 5 years.
No, you did. You did, like, load of radio plays and shit like that.
But I came back and I said, well, I've got to retire now, I'm hanging up my hat, and then that was it. That was it. The moment you decide, it's all over.
She once said to me, I'll be like that skeleton on the bike in Liberties. You know, that skeleton. That's me. That's my career. That's me on the bike.
I think it's what in the industry at any age, isn't it? It's like when you turn your back on it and go, right, that's it. That's enough. I'm done with you is when it comes knocking or something. Something about that. It's quite a healthy thing to do, I think. Think, oh, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, you've got to be lucky as well. You've got to be really lucky. Yeah. And I think the only reason I'm still here is because everyone else has gone. And there's the only...
Everyone else
the
is
only
dead.
One to do it is me left. You know,
that's not that true.
We start every week by asking our guest if they could take us back to a place that reminds them of their working class roots or past. Where would you take us?
I'd take you back to Clapham Junction. I'd take you back to Joe Lyon's Tea House. It was on the corner in Clapham Junction because we all grew up there. My family. Two sisters and a brother, and we'd go there on a Saturday and think we were very well to do, have a bit of tea. And
what was it like a greasy spoon type place, or was it a
was
bit more
well,
upmarket than that?
All the waiters and waitresses, it was mostly waitresses, they wore the little white pinnies and the black dresses with the little caps.
It was sort of quite glamorous, wasn't it? My dad went
really
a lot of
glam.
Like that's what people did, went to like Lion's Tea Room, and it was quite a sort of
it was
weird,
more of a tea room than a cafe.
Well, the thing is, it was working class, wasn't it? Really, working class people did frequent it, but it was sort of like
it was only working class,
glamorous at the same time. It was like a little bit of. They were like a real thin.
I think Clapham Junction's got a bit sort of more upmarket now because you've got Northcote Road attached to it and all of that. And I remember being 16 and my boyfriend taking me out to the Dog and Fox in Wimbledon for dinner. And we asked the maitre d' if we could get a cab home. And he said, and where to? Where would you like your cab? And we said, Battersea. And he went... Pardon?
Really? Battersea's really posh now.
He laughed, and now you go,
oh, yeah.
You couldn't afford it.
You could get a shoebox in Battersea now, could you?
Exactly.
There's lots of bits of London like that, isn't there? That was so I grew up in Greenwich, but my parents moved there in the 70s because it was like loads of actors, my dad's an actor, so loads of actors of my dad's generation moved there. It was like the cheapest place to live in London.
Yeah.
That's why they moved there.
Yeah,
my dad's
exactly.
from North London, but it was like, we'll go to Greenwich. It's like this really cheap, rough bit of London. Yeah. I mean, now you couldn't buy a shed in Greenwich. You'd be lucky. It's just.
Exactly. That's what the Junction was like. And it was the tea house was opposite Arding and Hobbs. And my brother was manager of the Heel Bar. He was only 16 and he did everyone's shoes. He was a cobbler there.
Oh.
Yeah, because he got an O-level in woodwork. He's dead now, sadly. But, so we would go and see him and then pop over and get a cup of tea. And
would you all go in there, the whole family?
Well, they were older than me, so I was the youngest. So I would just go in with my mum and dad. And I'd miss them because they were all, you know, they'd be working on a Saturday. And my other sister had kids, so she'd be off with them, but...
What sort of food did it do?
Well, it was kind of... I remember burgers.
Right.
Burgers, and that was like a really...
Quite exotic
That was really exotic.
American influence, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'm not sure if there were any buns. It was just the burger.
Oh, dear, no one wants that. Christ.
Baked beans, because that was on the menu.
With the burger?
If you wanted.
Yeah.
And fish fingers and chips, I remember that.
Yeah.
Because my dad had bought me this little book, this little reading book. I've got it by my bed.
Okay.
And he taught me how to do joined up writing my name. So I've written my name and joined up writing in that book with beans, burger, chips. I wrote that in the little book as well. And I think I was about six. And it was such a vivid memory, just writing and doing joined up writing. He taught me how to do it in that book, in Joe Lyon's, in Clapham Junction.
So Clapham Junction, so you grew up in Battersea, were you saying?
Yeah, I grew up on Windmill Road, which was opposite the common, so it was 15 minutes walk to CJ.
Right.
And it was just, the as I said, the main focal point where we all used to hang out or meet up, or if you went into town, or when I was going to college, I would get my train back to there and then walk home from the junction.
So you grew up in Battersea. Was it in a house, flat? What was the...
It was a flat. Well, it was a house and we had the downstairs flat and I shared a bedroom with my brother. He had the bottom bunk, I had the top bunk. And they're quite old, you know. It wasn't like we were kids. He was 11 years older than me. He left when he was 23 or something to get married. And my sister Nancy in the corner. And my other sister had gone off to marry a soldier. So we shared that bedroom, but my mum and dad didn't have a bedroom because we didn't have the room. So they had a bed in the kitchen.
Wow.
We had an outside loo till I was about 14, 15. So, you know, we're talking late 70s, like coming up to 1980, still going out to the loo.
Oh, God, but you're not terrified. We talked about this with Simon, actually, when we had Simon Day on, because he had an outside toilet, didn't he?
My neighbours had an outside loo when I was growing up.
What was yours like? We were talking about, I'd be terrified to go down at night. I just
get on with it, Laura, or you're still in a bowl, Do you know what I mean? I wasn't going to do that.
So did you share your room with your brother right up until he left to get married?
Yeah.
In his
20s? Yeah. But because that was it.
Well, there was nowhere else to go.
There was nothing else. I mean, he worked all the time, so, you know, there wasn't any of that. You know, there was a lot of privacy. You could get on with that.
That
wasn't even an issue.
I think but that's such a big change, isn't it? Like people getting, like people leaving home. My aunt did the same thing. Like people staying in their family home until they went to be married and go off to get married. And now obviously there's all that middle bit where you live with your mates. And But that didn't really, that wasn't a thing. It's quite a modern idea still, isn't it? That sort of teens, 20s.
Yeah.
Living that people just didn't do, stayed at home till you got married and then moved in with your family.
Which is exactly what he did. Well, what they all did.
And how was school for you? Were you academic? Were you?
I was really academic. I was really clever. But my mum and dad, we didn't have. I mean, we had nothing. They saved up so they could send me to a local private school on Trinity Road. Suiting Independent High School, it was called. It was like a little house because it was literally on the way home. It was in between home and my dad's work.
Do you think back then it was more achievable to try and save up and go to a private school? Because I think now if my brother tried to save up now, how do they do that? I don't understand.
Because it was a cheap one.
Right.
It was basically a cheap one.
Yeah, but still, private nonetheless.
Did you just you go to, I mean...
Oh, yeah, no, the others, they all went to the local comps and they went to the local schools. But they wanted to do this because they thought it might be easier because I was in between home and my dad's work, so he could pick me up and do all of that. And
but also, presumably, they thought you were bright, so thought it was worth
the
investment,
though. They did say
that.
They did think that. They did. But unfortunately, I'd sort of let them down, really, because I sort of left and said, I'm not going to do any exams. I'm just going to be an artist. I'm going to join the theatre. And my dad went, "You are a free spirit, kid. Go and be free."
Oh, my God, how amazing.
That's an amazing thing to do.
But certainly back then as well.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, how was your mum about it?
Well, she wanted me to do well, obviously. And, I did win a maths cup when I was 9. I was clever and I got to...
You actually, didn't you win Pointless? No, Weakest Link or one of them?
I did, Weakest Link.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's easy at home, you know, that show. You can answer the question.
But you still won it on live TV.
I wouldn't go on it because I'd get on something so simple.
I know, I don't.
Do you know what? I'd be so worried
myself.
About asking something about play, like Shakespeare wrote and going, and answering a check off. I just couldn't go. I'd be so embarrassed.
I know.
I'd get it wrong. And
you would never get it wrong. It's hard. It's hard, though.
Yeah,
Somebody said to me, to really hear, because it's hard to hear when you're being questioned, particularly by Anne Robinson.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrifying.
The lights in your face.
Oh, so it's a Doctor Who special.
Yes, I remember now. And someone said to me, "Rub your ears so when she's asking you questions, you can hear." Because sometimes it's hard to hear when people. So standing there, rubbing my ears to make it easier for me to hear what.
I wonder why you kept doing that in all our scenes when we're acting.
We're all rubbing our ears now, by the way.
Literally, even Michelle, our producer's rubbing her ears.
So what did your dad do? Because he's like...
So he was an artist. He was a local Battersea boy who spent most of his time in the snooker halls. But he was a brilliant artist and he got a scholarship to St Martin's and he couldn't do that. Because his dad died and he had to bring home money for my gran.
Yeah.
And so he started sign writing. Gifted. Self-taught. So he did all the local signs.
Oh, I love that.
And then he did all the posters for events at pubs, like Billy Ott Rock's Here Tonight, Go-Go Dancers in the 70s, all of that. He would do the Dayglow posters with italic calligraphic writing in paint.
Wow.
And he would have 80 pubs at his beck and call, really, if you like. So he'd say to me, if you're going out Friday night, you've got any money? I'd go, no, I've got no money. Take this down to Jim at the Beaufoy Arms in Battersea and he'll give you the money he owes me.
For the poster or
for
whatever.
For the posters, yeah. Then I'd take the money and then I'd go out for the night.
Oh, bless him.
And he was like that. And he had all of these pubs sewn up. And until recently, there were signs that you'd see from old shops that had been pulled down and his would be underneath.
Wow.
And Chris and I, my husband and I, would go, oh, my God, look, that's one of Gill's, you know.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
And what did your mum do?
She was really bright, my mum. She had a job for 5 years being PA to the Understate Secretary of Health for 5 years.
Blimey.
I don't know how she did it. She talked her way into it. But she gave them hell because she refused to wear a skirt and in winter she'd wear trousers.
Wow.
And they'd say, you know, what do you have to wear a skirt? She said, no, I'm cold. I'm not wearing a skirt. I will wear my trousers. Thank you. And nobody argued. She was very, very bright. She only did it for 5 years and then she became a librarian.
Wow.
Yeah.
And your dad was Italian, right?
He was half Italian.
Half Italian.
Yeah. And so did, Londoner.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So, but he was born here. Did his parents come over? Was he like second generation?
His dad came over. Yeah, his dad came over and he had a few quid that he saved up for and he was a porter in a hotel. But his mum, my great-gran, was Swiss, apparently.
Oh, wow.
And so he could speak these languages because he had to learn to speak these languages. So he came over and then met my granny. And they fell in love. He met her on the Isle of Wight. Unfortunately, they struggled because he was Italian.
Mm.
And people really didn't like foreigners in those days.
Yeah.
Don't really think that's not a kind of prejudice that you think of as being something that someone would really struggle with being Italian. I mean, we obviously know loads of people who came over in Windrush who had terrible, like, mixed-race marriages and people were so... A nightmare for people, like 70s London, wasn't it? But you don't necessarily think about...
The Italians, the Europeans, that being the same.
Yeah.
And I used to get a lot of grief from my surname, and somebody said to me, "You'll never make it in this business without foreign surname."
Really? Wow! Yeah. No way!
Yeah, and I said, "But there isn't another name.
It's my name.
That's the name. I'm using that name.
It's a great name.
It's really interesting when you talk about your dad because it's like something we talk about a lot is how." There's this idea that, like, you can't remain working class and be aspirational, that somehow, like, when you become aspirational, that is no longer major. But then you talk about your dad, and he's, like, the epitome of that, isn't he? Because he's living in a
really
house
hard.
Where he hasn't got a bedroom.
Got nothing.
Where his adult son is sharing a room with his two sisters.
Yeah.
And yet he's got the sort of aspiration to go send you to a private school to let you, at the end of that, go, you go and do your thing.
And
even... In his own choice of career, yes, he's not doing fine art, but he didn't give
not
up on
art,
being
no.
an artist either. It's quite
he
a
never
thing.
Gave
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
He it's never incredible. Gave up, and people would ask him to do really good portraits, and that wasn't his thing. Portraits weren't his thing, but he did an 8-foot by 8-foot Mona Lisa once around a hairdresser's in Barmouth Road in Wandsworth, where we lived, and I never forget seeing it for the first time. It was incredible.
Mm.
It was amazing. I don't know where that's gone. I'd love to know where that ended up.
Well, listeners out there, if anyone's got hold of it, let us know, please.
Let us know. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, we never, ever had a discussion about not having much, ever.
Mm.
We never had a discussion about class. I was brought up to get on with everybody, regardless of faith, creed, race, class. Mm. It wasn't a thing.
No.
And so when you, because obviously you're saying that was relatively, as private schools go, it was a relatively cheap school.
Yeah, it was a house.
But when you got there... The other students must have been living in a slightly different life to yours. They weren't living in a house with one bedroom, presumably, or a flat with one bedroom. And
did you become aware of your class a bit then? When you
I did, like, I oh. did, because I went to school with many different nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be like some African princes and princesses who
were
pitched up, who were like one of us, really, just looking for a good time at school. You know,
just looking for a good time.
They'd wear their like tie wonky and try and be cool. Do you know, everyone was just trying to
rebel,
sort of keep above water, really, you know, and try not to get in trouble. But I think I was a bit of a gobshite at school because I'd always get detention. I'd get the cane a lot as well. That was interesting, getting the cane.
God.
Because, you know, people didn't like the school dinner.
But you get it on the hand?
Yeah, on the hand, yeah.
Wow.
I remember the boys crying, but I never cried. But I remember thinking, this isn't right.
No.
Even then.
A man like you giving me the cane, it's not right really, is it? But at the best time. But, yeah, my friends, they would make fun of me.
Like your accent, you mean, or like...
Yeah, that. And then once they said, can we come to your house for lunch? And I said, yeah, of course. So I said to my mum and dad, look, like 2-3 of my friends are coming. Do you think we can get something in? You know, there's never anything at home.
Mm-hmm.
My mum would go, oh, make something with that lovely tin of meat in the egg meal.
Yeah.
And you go, all right then. So I said, do you think we can have egg and bacon? You know, I'm like, oh, all right then. So they got the egg and bacon in. I remember them coming round and there was a table, a small round table, and they sat. I put them in the chairs and I sat on my mum and dad's bed to eat this so that they were kind of sort of sniggering behind there, like sort of laughing. I'll never forget it. And I just tried to ignore it.
Aww.
And I said, are you enjoying that? Oh, yeah, no, it's really nice. And then they were so shocked that I lived how we lived
in
that room,
yeah,
sitting on my mum's bed eating egg and bacon. But anyway, it was the making of me because I loved my family so much beyond life itself, and the love we got was insurmountable. And it didn't matter that we didn't have much, and it didn't matter about any of those things because all you need is love, really.
But I think it's like a testament to your mum and dad, really, that you did take your friends round, because had they gone on and on about not having much or we haven't got anything, you might have felt really ashamed, but you weren't. You went round and went, this is how we live.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're at school, you're at private school, and you turn around to your dad, you say, I want to go and be an actress or perform an artist.
Yeah.
When did that kick in for you? When did you think, oh, do you know what, that's what I want to do?
I did the school play, and they were all worried about what I was going to do because I'd gone off the rails, really. I think they were just worried about me having, you know, having a baby at 16, which is so far from what I was thinking. Do you know what I mean? It's amazing what people put onto you.
Yeah.
They project all of that onto you. When you look a certain type, you know, I had sort of big breasts and blonde hair, and I think that I was just labelled. And it never worried me, but it clearly worried them, you know. I remember my English teacher, and she was wonderful, and she was my drama teacher, and she put me in Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh, yeah.
So I played Cecily, and that went really well. And the following year, she wanted me to play Eliza Doolittle, and that was it. And then all the mums and dads came, and lots of people.
I'd love to see your Eliza Doolittle.
Oh, my God,
she can sing as well. Camille can sing as well. Was it Pygmalion, or was it... My Fair Lady.
It was Pygmalion.
Right, yeah.
But it was such fun doing that, because then I thought, and everyone was saying, this is what you should do, you need to do this, because you're good at this, you can do this. And I thought, I'll do that then, I'll go to drama school and I'll try and get into drama school.
How did you know about drama school, though? Did a teacher say to you, that's what you need to do next?
She did, because in fact, Tracy, her name was, my drama teacher, and her father was an actor called Lyndon Brooke. It was either Brooke or Brooks. Tracy Brooks, it was an S. And he was in all those films. I think he was in Spartacus and all those films. Yeah. And he came to see it. And she said to me, my dad thought you were great. This cat, you know, this actor.
It's the funny thing, isn't it? Sometimes I think, like, there's obviously, like, a difficult... Sometimes sort of working class people think it can seem like... So... unattainable, but I also think there can be a real benefit to not knowing as well, because I think you can do things like, sometimes I meet young students and I love it when they go, oh, I'm just going to try for this place called RADA, and I'm going, yeah, just, and it's really lovely that they don't know. Keep not, there's a benefit to not knowing, to just rocking up and doing your thing
100%.
And being raw and not having necessarily come up through loads of stage school, and just being, I just think there's such a lovely part of your life when you go, I'm just going to do this thing before everyone goes, or you start to get that voice in your head going, you're going to do this. And you just think, okay, I'll go to drama school then. That's what I'll do. Like,
I think my dad was about that. And he was my absolute hero. And he would say to me, you can do anything, remember that. Anything in this world. The world is so big. Just remember, you're a free spirit and be free. Just remember that. So I went through those years going, I can do that. I didn't even question it.
So amazing.
I didn't question it at all.
I hear you say that all the time. You've said it to me, actually. You can do anything. You say it to me all the time.
Yeah, but you can.
Very true. But I hear you say it to your kids as well. Camille's daughter, Rosa, is an actress, and her son, Sonny, he's a doctor now.
Yeah.
So it's the brains and the performing. It's all coming from you, not Chris.
It definitely is. I Googled it. I did.
So did you just, like, say, okay, drama school, and off I rock, and I just got there?
Yeah.
And
were you not worried about money?
I did,
like,
and I didn't.
Were you not worried about
there.
Paying for it? Oh, right, go
no,
on.
No, I didn't get that. I didn't even think about those things, because... I went to college and I thought, I'll just, you know, I'll pick up the O levels that I dropped and I'll just have a go. And I was doing drama A and art A level, and I thought, I'll just pick them up and see how we go from there. Then the other girls and boys, well mates at college, said, there's an audition, Capital Radio, audition for the Lyric Youth Theatre. Do you want to come along? And I said, well, I'll come along and support you, yeah, but I won't, you know, I won't join in. And of course, I was dragged in. And auditioned and got in. That was the beginning then, really, of the drama performance.
And how old were you then?
I was 16. Yeah, I was like one of the youngest. There were older people in it,
and then from that, did you get agent, I presume?
And so it begins.
You know?
So Mary Selway came along and saw a live performance of at the Riverside, and she got in touch with me. She spoke to a guy in the audience. And she was looking for the lead in the film Absolute Beginners. And she spoke to him and she said to him, why are you here? The late, great Mary Selway. She cast everything. She was an amazing woman. And he said, oh, my flatmate Camille's in this. And he went, I need to see that girl. Get her to ring me. Give her this number. So no phones then. It was all, I remember being in a phone box with 10p going, oh, hello, can I speak to... anyway, Twickenham Studio she was, and she said, "You've got to be an actress. Is that what you want to do?" And I went, "Yeah, I think so." "What do you mean you think so? You need to know." I said, "Yeah, no, I do." And you know when you're a bit, you don't want to speak too, because you don't want to be too, you know, flash.
Yeah.
But do you think like, yes, I do.
Yeah, do you think that's a working class thing,
definitely,
though?
Definitely.
Like, you know, that whole thing. I mean, I know everyone has it when people say, "Oh, well done, you're brilliant." And but I do think it's a particularly working class thing to go, "Oh, no.
Oh,
me,
no.
I mustn't talk."
Always.
I mustn't pick myself up.
I didn't. And inside I was burning. I thought, it's the only thing I want to do. And I couldn't say that because I thought,
it's a bit
flash. You know, it's a bit braggy. No, so I said, "Oh, yeah, no, I think so." Anyway, and then I came in and, got a film. And big picture was my first job. And that's it, I was 21.
Wow. You get a film and then somebody goes, "I'm going to pay you to do this." Were you like, what on earth is going on here?
Yeah, like, unbelievable. And the money that, you know, so I went from, like, sometimes I'd walk home because I couldn't afford it. Oh, my God, my King Ralph audition. I went up for a film called King Ralph. And I found, like, 150 down the sofa.
Wow.
And then I got there to Twickenham Film Studios because it was Mary Selway again. She put me up for this. And I bumped into Josie Lawrence. And I knew Josie because we'd done a job at the BBC. And she said, "Oh, God, I've been up for this." She said, "Oh, well, you'll get it." She said, I'm totally not right for it." I said, "Yes, you are. Yes, you are." I said, "Can I ask you something? It's a bit embarrassing. But I said, I haven't got any money to get home. Do you think you can lend me a couple of quid to get the train back? Because otherwise it's a bit of a long old walk. Twickenham
to bloody
Battersea.
It's like a day, surely."
No, honestly. And she went, "Oh, my God, Camille." Honestly, she was, it broke her heart, really. So she gave me a fiver. I still owe her that fiver.
I was going to say, if you could.
I still owe her that. It's terrible, isn't it? She
God
saved
knows
my
inflation.
Life. Yeah. Oh, God.
It's important to remember those stories, isn't it? Because I know we can have a big old moan about, telly don't pay what it used to, but it pays incredibly well. And when you compare it to, say, like, you know, what your sister's earning or your brother or, you know, it's like silly money. It's silly, silly money. But it's important to remember those. Like, you know, because I've walked to a couple of auditions in the past.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And, well, I told you a story. I took this producer to me when I was in my Checkley Bush days, my double act days. We went out to breakfast with this producer, and I thought between us we'll be able to get it. And we said to him, "Oh, don't you worry." We thought, "Oh, you know," because he was really helping us out, and we were sort of developing this TV thing with him that never went anywhere. But anyway, he goes off, and we're in Pat Vow, you know, Patisserie Valerie down. Fucking Soho. Wherever it's Soho or whatever. We go, "Yeah, go on, you're all right, we've got it.
Yeah.
And Vic said, "Babe, I've just seen my bank account, I've only got a tenner." And I went, "Well, look," and I didn't have I sort of had a funny old bank account at the time. I've always got funny bank accounts. And I ran over the road and went, "I'll go and get some cash out." I'll go out, 20 quid, nothing. I mean, the bill was about 40 or 50 quid, something like that. So we had to, we got there, we squirreled together like 10 quid or something, 15 quid between us, but we didn't have enough. So, we called a friend and said, "Can you pay it over the phone?" And he bailed us out. And I don't think we've ever paid him back either.
It's funny, isn't it, though? Because it's another thing that we talk about a lot, about, like,
money.
When you say when you have, like, no money.
Yeah.
Do you remember when me and you stayed in that awful B&B in Basingstoke?
Oh, gosh.
And we'd got it wrong.
Well, I thought we were going to get murdered, I'll be honest.
We stayed in this B&B in Basingstoke, and we were sharing a room, but we'd got it wrong. We thought the price was for two nights. But the price was for one night. So I was in the shower,
we were waiting
Laura
to get paid.
Went down, she came back up and she was like, "Ashen." Because that's the reason we'd stay there, because we couldn't afford the train. And she said, babe, it's not for one night. I mean, that's for one night, not the two nights. And we were like, what are we going to do? We haven't got it. And the woman was like,
"It's such a shit hole as well. It was such a shit hole. It weren't, honestly, it weren't. It would have been better off sleeping in the car."
And then, you know, as well, that eventually, of course, we borrowed it and we got it and we managed to pay it.
I think I called my mum, actually.
But then you've got nothing for weeks going on. This has cost me all this money and now we're not going to be able to have anything for... I sort of love that, remembering those times.
I love it now. At the time, it was horrible and it was hard and it just felt like you're chasing your tail the whole time. This industry always feels like that, particularly when you've got no money. It's really fucking hard.
It's difficult.
So let's go back to Hollywood, Barbara. So you go, you do that film, and then you get whisked off to King Ralph.
I did a few pictures there, but they were here. They were in this
country. Was Nuns on the Run before King Ralph?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you feel like that was kind of like you get Nuns on the Run. So that was a huge hit,
yeah,
wasn't
that
it?
Was that a was a really massive. Big hit. And they came over because they were casting King Ralph and they were shooting it all here in all the castles. Unlimited budget. Can you imagine?
My God.
It was ridiculous. It was just far out.
Have you seen King Ralph?
No.
Have you never seen King
never
Ralph?
I've never seen it.
I feel like you would have done and you might have forgotten.
Maybe. I'm terrible. You know, I don't know
or you might have gone,
anything.
Oh, dear, I'm turning that over.
Least likely of the outcome.
But it was fun anyway. But so
Camille
they
was
all
a fox.
Came over.
Camille was like,
I was.
Yeah, like you were like
still
Hollywood
are.
Kind of pin-up girl.
You have to be joking.
You were. King Ralph's really nonsense. Iconic, no? Like,
no, I don't know about that.
Well,
but
I do know, so.
But anyway, yeah, so they came over and they were saying, oh, you know, your film's doing so well in the States right now and la, la, la. They were lovely. And they bought you presents on that film. Yeah, like a nice like baseball jacket and things. I treasured those, you know. You treasure those things, don't you?
How was that though? Like, was your dad still alive? Did he see all of that?
Yes, he did.
Oh,
I was so proud. He was so proud. But he would say things, you know, quietly, like, you're a star. You are a star. You always were. The moment you were born, and I was born in a thunderstorm, and he always told me, sign of greatness, kid.
Oh.
Sign of greatness, born in a storm, and you were stung at your christening by a bumblebee, so it's going to be amazing. He would say things like that, you know. So I think, oh God, yeah, and he's quite sort of magical. So that's lovely. But my mum, you see, she's a Leo, and they're quite sort of proud. They're amazing Leos. They're amazing. And as mothers, they're also never wrong. So she could never say to me, oh God, Camille, you know. I'm so proud of you. She did eventually, like before her death, she died nearly 10 years ago. And she would, just before, she'd say, I'm so proud of you.
That's nice.
That was an amazing
thing.
It's
nice
thing.
That you got that moment.
Yeah, but the only time my mum rang me, she said, I saw you on TV. And I thought, I said, really? Well, I haven't done anything for, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. She's actually ringing me. She said, there you were on the news. You can see it on the 6 o'clock. You're on the platform, Balham Tube Station. You got on, the tube doors open, you're in your stripy cardi, and you got on. I went, there's Cammy.
Meanwhile, King Ralph's playing in the cinema around the corner.
That is amazing.
So
what is that? The chance of you being on the news like anyone else might be.
It was about something totally random about undergrounds, and I just happened to walk on.
It took her by surprise in a way.
I just happened to walk on. Get onto the tube while they're doing their 1 o'clock news. Watch tonight, she said. You know they repeat it at 6. Watch tonight, you'll see. Oh, I knew it was you. I thought, I cannot believe this.
That's
done
the stuff
all these
that keeps
films.
You grounded, isn't it, really? You'd never change it. Because
I'd
change my mum to be
change.
A pushy, showy mum and
oh,
gushy.
I couldn't think of anything worse.
I really couldn't. I'd like that.
Supportive is so important, isn't it?
The support is unwavering, but yeah. So would you say, was King Ralph, Nuns on the Run, was that like massive turning point for your career? Was that like,
so.
And now we've got like...
Yes, I think it was. And the plays were... You know, the plays, because it's funny, isn't it? I started off and I thought, I want to do great plays. I want to do a Doll's House. I want to do all these fantastic. I want to do Chekhov. I want to do.
And then anything. You saw your paycheck for telly and film and you went, fuck that.
No, if only. No, it's a question of, you know, my agent, who was Michael Foster at the time, saying to me, they want you to jump out of a birthday cake, Camilla. And I said, no, she's not doing that. And I said to him...
Was this after King Ralph?
This is before.
Oh.
This is kind of before the films. And when I wanted to just do theatre and stage, because I loved it, I was obsessed with it. And he said that, and I said, well, really? And then
jump out of a birthday cake for who?
In this show, there was a TV show.
Oh, I see. Sorry,
It was called A Roller Next Year.
Right.
And I said to him, I'm not ever going to jump out of a birthday cake. And I think she was topless. I said, I'm not going to do that.
Mm.
And I was so disappointed. I thought, oh God, is this my life now?
Right.
I'm not going to do these great plays. I'm just going to be the blonde who does this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, managed to kind of find a balance, feed the family.
I've spoken to you about this a number of times over the 10 years that I've known you. And I know you, it's something you've struggled with in the past where people have presumed you are one thing because you're blonde, you're busty, you've got a high pitched voice that everyone thinks you're stupid and dumb.
Oh, they do.
And you get that a lot, right?
Low intelligence. And what on earth would I be doing here or living here? I've had people knock on my door campaigning against having the permits outside. Parking permits, and this fella said to me, "Are you in the upstairs flat, or are you the nanny, or?"
Oh,
and I said, "No, no, I live here. No, this is my house."
Wow.
And you go, "That's incredible, isn't it?" So I'd never knock on anybody's door. As I said earlier, I was brought up to get on with everybody.
So it wouldn't even occur to you to think.
It wouldn't even occur to me to judge anybody. Regardless of what they look like, to even think, I bet that person couldn't even afford. He thought I could. A, I couldn't afford to live there, and B, I was the help.
more
than anything.
Yeah.
And I just have never thought about myself.
And
like
have you
that.
Found
it's
that
always a surprise when they
when
they do this stuff to me? You just think,
And in the industry, right? You've had it as well with parts where people just like go, "Oh, she's just the tart with a heart."
I imagine a lot of people would think that, or also just that I wasn't able to do anything else probably.
Yeah.
You know, because my voice is a bit sort of, it's a bit high, isn't it? It's always been a bit high.
That's the thing though. It's like, why? Just because you've got a high voice in a working class
accent.
Yeah,
there's stigma, isn't there?
It makes
you suddenly,
it's that old school thinking of, sort of tarty and, you know, and it's like, why can't I,
bimbo.
You know?
Bimbo. Yeah. But that's why I needed to do something different when we did King Gary, which was just lower the tones of the voices. You can then.
And
it's amazing how serious people.
Yeah, it's amazing,
isn't it?
I know recently you've just played something that's going to, I think, you know, people are going to be really shocked to see. And I think it's great because, you know, I've known you for many years and we all get typecast. I get typecast. I'm fed up of playing, you know, straight talking, lesbian, straight talking, cockney, whatever. Mm. But I'm good at it. I don't mind it. I'm good at it. I know I'm good at it, but I do want to do other things. And I know you've always felt that.
You do, but you do.
But same for you. It's just like.
I've played so many proses.
It's so good.
So
me
many.
Me too.
So many. I like that though. I like the dress up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, what can I do with this?
But also, they are the really interesting characters.
Oh, they are.
But it's really great. It's clever what you did with Denise and King Gary because I don't think people are expecting it because you always play such warm characters and likeable characters. Mm. Even like Shelley was a bit tragic in Him and Her, but she was certainly like a bit soft and a bit like... She was tragic because everyone was horrible to her, weren't she? She's so incredible, Shelley. Such an incredible performance. And then what you did with Denise, and she's such an arsehole, Denise, isn't she? She's horrible, isn't she?
Very difficult.
But Camille would talk, and then suddenly she'd go into Denise in that voice, so low. It's just so brilliant what you did with it.
A bit of a tangent, but just thinking about you saying just a minute ago that, you know, your parking permit dude knocks on your door and goes... But obviously the life...
Are you the nanny or, you know...
I mean, what an arsehole.
Really? Honestly.
The life that you live now, the way that you live, the home that you live in is so different to the lifestyle and house that you grew up in.
Yeah. Her house is well nice.
It's homey. It's not flash. It's just homey, isn't it? It's homey.
Yeah,
it's homey
but you've done
home,
really well
really.
For yourself and it's gorgeous.
I wouldn't like people to think that I was flash in any way.
I know, that's interesting in itself. Like, how was that journey from, like, that house? Did your mum come to that house a lot? Like, what was her feelings about?
She thought it was wonderful. She thought it was absolutely wonderful because they moved and they got a bungalow in the end in the Isle of Wight, which was cute.
They had their own room.
They did,
good.
It was really great. And a bathroom. I've got three bathrooms and every day I go into these bathrooms, mine and then the other two bathrooms, and I run my fingers along the baths and the showers. I'm so grateful because we didn't have one.
She does.
And I do that and it's my thing. I do that. I go in, I go, "Oh, this is great." Because I've never forgotten what... Anyway, that's interesting. Are you still awake?
Interesting.
Are you still awake?
That's exactly what I mean, though. Like, even that, like, to go from no inside loo to three bathrooms.
Yes, brilliant.
And you're brilliant,
it's
though.
Brilliant.
Isn't it?
And I clean my lavs, and I'm so proud of my lavs, I have to say.
You've got a lovely lav. So I've been grateful. On it many times.
And so the way your kids grew up must have been quite different to the way you grew up as well. Like, how?
Very different. Well, I keep reminding them. I do remind them.
I know.
I go, do you have any idea what it's like to eat stones? Because some people out there are. And they go, oh, God, Mum, don't. They go, don't, Mum, don't. And I go, this is what we're dealing with. People cannot feed their families. Don't forget that.
I've met your kids and
they value everything.
They really do. They do. Yeah, they do. They're great kids. They're not at all privileged, although they are. They don't act privileged. No. They don't act like they have a right. And they work really, really fucking hard.
Yeah.
How was it? It's been so amazing to watch Sonny's journey because he's a doctor now. How's that been, because you and Chris were able to, he wouldn't have been a doctor had you both not been able to put him through all the private schools that he's had,
he went comprehensive,
but after that though, right,
then college
yeah.
instead of going to the sixth form college, he said to us that he didn't want to do A levels, he wanted to do the baccalaureate, which he'd never done, which is like five A levels. And you had to pay for that. And Chris was like, bloody hell, are we going to do that? I said, look, I heard my dad. You know, something my dad would say. He'd go, we've got the bus.
Doctor Who will pay for it. Doctor Who.
Doctor Who, yeah. We've got the bus. He can drive a bus. Just give him the key. Give him the key. So I said that. I did the spiel. I said, he's on his way. Give him the key. And he went, right, blimey. So, you know, we did. And he got into Wellington College and then... But he could, to be fair, he could have done it anywhere.
Because he's super
but he made
bright.
It so, it super,
it
super
helps,
bright.
Though, doesn't it?
As
it
his
helps.
Rosa.
It all helps.
It really helps. So then he did that. Then he was able to thing, you know, and he's a really great... They're both really wonderful.
So we finish up the show each week asking our guest if they would like to celebrate a working class hero. So who would that be for you this week?
My dad, definitely. My dad who gave me, you know, the wings and he was full of the jargon. I've never forgotten his sayings. And yeah, he was huge because he made me feel like I could do anything, really. And I don't think I'd be here if it wasn't for him. I really wouldn't.
No. And you're instilling that now in your children. I see that massively.
Yeah,
the sense
so.
Of belief that children have is not arrogant, it's just
positive.
It's just such a gift to give that to your children, I think. I think about that all the time, just to let them be and just tell them, like, just be. Just do what you want to do, like, be yourself. And I try and say that to my son, so I'm like, you don't owe me anything. Just do your thing, like, be who you want to be. And that's, like, you know, you've done enough for me already. So just, like, and he's only six. Yeah. But, you know, that thing of just, like,
it's
I really... My
parents
were like that with me as well. Like, there was no pressure to do...
To achieve
anything for them. And I think that's such a huge freeing thing.
Well, they're only on loan to you, aren't they?
Yeah,
anyway.
And I'm really conscious of that. I think that all the time.
And so what was your daddy's full name?
His name was Gil Cajuri. Gil Patterson Luigi.
Nice.
Could
Bill,
Patterson.
Gil.
Bill.
Bill.
Gil for sure.
Bill Patterson.
Was my dad.
Gil Luigi Patterson Cadori.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we're celebrating him as well as you this week. Camille Cadori, I love you endlessly.
Oh,
thank
ditto,
you for today. The
thank
irony
you.
Of today is we sat in a really posh drama school, aren't we?
We're about to get thrown out.
And we're about to get thrown out. And we're off to the pub. Camille, thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I just hope I wasn't too boring.
Well, you were.
love being here. Thanks.
Thank you, darling.
Lovely to reminisce.
Just
Clapham Junction.
Clapham
Junction.
Up the CJ.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Strangely enough, not strangely, but we did a tester pilot, didn't we, with Camille?
Oh, gosh.
Ages ago when we were thinking about doing this podcast. And that chat didn't go at all like the tester chat. And it was, not that it wasn't
not
any good.
It was no good because we were shit. We
were
shit. We couldn't get on the internet and it was the middle of COVID.
But isn't Camille special and gorgeous. And
yeah, I remember meeting her for the first time and just you saying, oh, I've met this incredible woman. And you are correct, she is incredible. Yeah,
I met her when we did Edge of Heaven, which, like we say, was a bit of a flop.
I enjoyed it.
But she just lost her mum, and I then, halfway through the job, lost my dad.
God,
and
course.
So the two of us, just in a smoker's corner when we were both smoking, we completely bonded, and she totally got me through that job. And actually, she taught me how to be on set.
Well, yeah, of course, because that was early days for you, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'd done like a couple of episodes here and there,
but
and
nothing
things,
like
but,
that.
Yeah,
but, like, having
she taught me how
role.
To be on set, and she's an incredibly special woman to me and an incredible talent. And you can catch her on Channel 4 because she's starring in Big Boys, Jack Rook's Big Boys on Channel 4. That's still going. You can catch that on all four. And she's got loads of other projects coming
well,
up.
That's exciting because I've not seen it, so I'm off to watch
it
that.
It is
now.
Honestly incredible. It's I'm incredible. Excited. And she's amazing in it.
And that's all for this week. Thank you so much. We will, of course, be back next week with another one of our incredible guests. Thanks for listening. Oh, dear.
And remember, it's coming. Keep it classy.
Proper Class podcast is produced by Michelle Farr Scott for Rangaby Productions, edited by James Torrance, with music by Tommy Music. Just to let you know, folks, the Proper Class podcast is now going weekly. And whilst I've got you here, please don't forget to like and subscribe. Spread the word. Tell your friends, neighbours, whoever will listen. We've also got an Instagram page. Ooh, get us. And you can follow all the news and goss at the Proper Class podcast. And if you haven't nodded off yet, we've also gone and got ourselves an official email. So do get in touch. The email is properclasspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, folks. And remember, keep it classy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.